Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly livestock market update. I'm Ram Fielding for reporter Megan Grebner with us as always to talk all things markets is University of Missouri Scott Ram. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Megan.
Happy Friday to you. I hope your weather is as beautiful as ours here is in the Mid-South. I think that's what they call this. I'm still learning.
You could turn the thermostat down just a few degrees, but we'll take it.
All right. We have a couple of things to get to today. Our big week is actually next week. It's going to be a pretty jam-packed Friday for us. We're going to talk a little consumer and retail side of things this week. But to kick things off, let's recap what happened this week in the markets.
Yeah. So this week on the cattle side of the equation, we had cash cattle down 80 cents this week. Those feeder cattle markets were anywhere from $1 to $4 lower on the week. If we look at the futures side, October live cattle futures contract was down 60 cents this week, and the October feeder cattle contract closed down $1.40. We did see corn futures, December corn futures, up 11 cents this week. On the beef side, choice box beef price fell nearly $12 this week. On the hog side, cash barrels and gilts were down $3 this week. On the futures side, the October lean hog futures contract closed up $2.65. And on the pork cutout value, we lost $1.45 this week. That actually puts the pork cutout value about $22 above where it was a year ago at this time.
Before we go any further, I think the cattle industry and the cattle market probably took a big deep breath in and then let out a sigh of relief after the fire at the JBS facility in Nebraska on Monday. Thankfully, no impact to the production side of things, so that kept things moving. How big is that in relation to when we talk about markets and what happens that we didn't see a major reaction on Monday?
So I think there is, you know, things to learn. Number one, I think many of us would have thought, yeah, we're going to see the repeat of, or at least to some degree, the repeat of what we saw in 2019 with the fire in Western Kansas. That saw cattle prices lower and box beef move higher, when in fact we had both down this week. Perhaps we're beginning to see some signs that movement of box beef is slowing just a little bit, given the decline again this week. Maybe that decline would have been more had it not been for the day that we saw the plant down. Now, short-lived in issue relative to what we saw back in 2019. So it's not fair to compare those two things exactly, but certainly a lot more concern on Monday than turned out as the rest of the week unfolded.
When I got the email from their communications department that said that they would have the plant back up on Tuesday, I let out a sigh of relief. I was like, this is good news for us right now. Let's talk a little bit about what happened on the weekly slaughter side of things. We saw that plant down Monday, but it didn't seem to impact numbers exponentially.
Yeah, that's right. So we're up, you know, relative to the previous week on both cattle and hogs. So a run of 660,000 head of cattle for the week ending September 18th. That's, again, 83,000 more than where we were a week ago. And it's actually 12,000 more than where we were a year ago at this time. Another large run in hogs this week, 2.537 million head of hogs slaughtered this week, 296,000 more than where we were a week ago, and only 46,000 less than where we were a year ago.
As I mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, it was a pretty quiet week for us report-wise, focusing a lot on the retail and the consumer side of things. Let's start first and take a look at those retail prices, because they're pretty impressive as we dig into them.
Yeah, that's right. If you like record prices, we can find some record retail meat prices again here in front of us. The choice beef retail price for August came in at $7.64. That's up $1.15 from where we were a year ago in August. If you look at the pork retail price, it came in at $4.65. That's up 57 cents from where it was in August of 2020. A few of the individual components are interesting as well. So bacon prices, your favorite, of course, Megan, reached a high of a record high of $7.10 per pound. Take the chicken side even. So a chicken leg, bone-in chicken leg prices at $1.71 was also a record. Even on the beef side, so choice boneless sirloin steaks, they averaged $10.60 in August. That's near a record high. The record was $10.78, set back in June of this year.
You are literally killing my pocketbook and all of the things. I sound like my grandmother there for a second. But bacon, chicken legs, and sirloin are the things that we pick up when we're at the store because the boys love them so much. Apparently, I'm going to have to start budgeting a little bit more for those products at the grocery store.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I think it's interesting when you see retail prices at or near record in many cases. Yet when you think about farm level prices, we're nowhere near record levels of those prices. It keeps reminding me of the margins that are happening from farm to retail. We're much higher on the beef side. I would say we're roughly been a dollar higher the last few months in that margin from farm to retail. Relative to where we were over the 2015 to 2019 period. And even on the pork side, roughly 30 cents higher this year in 2021 relative to 2015 to 2019. I will say, I think those margins might shrink as we look ahead to, especially on the cattle side, because of some of the drought issues that are going to reduce cattle supplies going forward. But we're still going to talk about running some very high prices to consumers. And of course, the concern could always be, do at some point we turn down consumer demand at these kinds of near record high prices?
Let's talk a little consumer sentiment. As we take a look at those numbers, how are we faring as the year goes on?
Yeah, so when we look at what we got for September, first of all, relative to August, it was up 1%. And I just remind us, we had a pretty steep fall off in consumer sentiment in the August report last month. So we got some recovery there. That leaves September, though, still nearly 12% below where we were a year ago at this time. But for me, one of the pieces here that I think we need to be paying attention to, the current economic conditions portion of that overall index is actually down nearly 2% month over month. So still some current concerns in terms of economic conditions. Expectations got the recovery up 3.1% month over month, but I think maybe some of the current COVID surge is having some issues in some parts of the country, at least.
I was going to ask, like, how much of the COVID numbers, as we see spikes and breakthrough cases, so on and so forth, are impacting maybe what we're seeing purchases and then the confidence as well as we go into those situations.
Yeah, so I think for sure we've seen, you know, and again, I'll say some areas of the country. It depends on the region as to whether or not I think we've seen those additional cases and the additional breakthrough cases, if you will, that has kept some consumers or worried about the current situation. And in other parts of the country, I think a lot of folks have marched on without much change in their behavior as a result of increase in caseload.
Before I let you go today, I am curious, as we talk about consumers, purchases, the COVID situation, the economy in the last year, what kind of changes have we seen as it relates to at home versus away from home purchases?
Yeah, so BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, released some consumer expenditure survey numbers that fill in the 2020 annual data here 9 months into 2021. But some interesting data, if you look at food away from home for a minute, across all consumers, we were down roughly 33% in away-from-home expenditures in 2020. That probably doesn't catch us too off guard, just given the shutdown that we saw for a period of time. At the same time, food at home up 6.4% over the period of 2020 relative to 2019. So a real flip around, and I think I still try to get my arms around what's that mean as we go forward. Have we changed consumer behavior enough with this surge in at-home consumption that that demand sticks with us longer term? And if that's the case, the things that might benefit from more at-home consumption, I'll take loins as maybe one of the products. That's something that I think we can continue to watch as we look ahead.
How much are we watching also to see maybe the away from home consumption tick up, but could we potentially even still see that at home purchase number stay where it is or just drop back slightly? And does that boast and bode well for domestic consumption overall?
So I think that's the critical piece here, Megan, is that so away from home recovering. And in some ways, I think when we finish 2021, we're going to see, you know, away from home maybe surpassing where we were in 2019 before all this outbreak occurred. Can we hold at home? I think that's the critical piece. And if you want to grow overall demand, I think it would occur more likely if we can hold some of the strength that we've seen in at home. I'm not ready to call consumer behavior on that front quite yet. I know my own way of handling changes is that I say my ruts are so deep I can't see out of the top of them. So I do revert pretty quickly back. I'm not sure I'm an average consumer. The other point I'll make here is don't forget we're going to push near record, so not record, but fairly high levels of meat consumption at consumers in 2022, as well as what we've done this year. And so we need them to consume as much at home as we can add to the mix.
Scott, I think you're anything but average.
I appreciate that comment.
All right. That'll do it for us this week. We have a big, big Friday ahead of us next week. Let's tick off the reports that we are going to be chatting about then.
I thought we were just going to give them the ones that we weren't doing since there's so many. But cold storage midweek, livestock slaughter, and then we finish the week with both quarterly hogs and pigs as well as a monthly cattle on feed report on Friday.
It's going to be a busy day for us, and we hope you tune in to chat with us then. Always good to see you. Hopefully you get a little bit cooler fall weather in your forecast sooner.
Great to see you as well, Megan.
All right. So our weekly livestock market update delivered to your email box every Saturday morning. Go to brownfieldagnews.com. You can also submit questions and comments there as well. And with harvest picking up around the Corn Belt, make sure to tune into the Brownfield podcast. You can listen to them at home, online, in the cab of your truck, tractor, or combine. Those are at brownfieldagnews.com/podcast. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday. I'm Megan Grebner for Brownfield.